Good morning, church. Man, I tell you what, doesn't it not seem like yesterday it was the first, January 1st? Here we are, Labor Day weekend. Praise the Lord for everything. Good Lord, you know, we're here today. Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Let's say it again. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise God, we can praise Him this morning and give Him, you know, we are the redeemed of the Lord, right? We can say so this morning, amen? Now, I'm going to be over in Proverbs 28:1, if you want to turn there for a minute. Now, we're going to read it. You don't have to, you can stand. You go ahead and stand up this morning when you get there. Proverbs 28:1. And I want you to look to the person over on your left or your right, and let's read this together. You're going to preach the sermon. I want you to preach the sermon with this verse of Scripture as you say it to the person on either side of you, left or right. Let's say it together. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as lions. Now, that's pretty good for a that's pretty good right there for a Presbyterian sermon. But now, let's say it like we're Pentecostal this morning. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. When I finish the sermon this morning, you may not remember the sermon, but I want you to remember this scripture, okay? Because this is important this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to praise You. I want to give You the glory and the honor that You so rightly deserve, Father. For, Lord, You are the one that deserves it. Not anybody, not me. Lord, You are the one that deserves it. I pray, Father, that You would open up the minds and the hearts of those here this morning. And, Lord, we pray, Lord. We pray, Father, that, Lord, as You know, that would touch the hearts the way that You would want it. And we'll give You the glory for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you this morning. I want to draw attention to the last four words of this verse. Bold as a lion. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time to keep silent and a time to speak. We know that. Look at me. This is your time to speak, all of us. This is our time to speak. There has never been a time in history, there never has been, that of the world, that we've had a greater opportunity than what we have and this generation has right now. Never before. And it's a great opportunity. As a matter of fact, it's not only just an opportunity, it's an obligation as us as Christians to go out and spread the gospel to a world. For the cause of Jesus, for the cause of Jesus Christ, the generation, when the people I'm looking at here this morning have that obligation in this church to go out and be as bold as lions today. We have that opportunity. The question is not whether the time is right. The question is, are you ready to do it? That's the question. That's the question if the time's right. The Bible says the fields are ripe. it says this. Jesus says, say ye not that there are 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are ready for the harvest. If we cannot see out there that there's a world out there, a world of people out there that need to know about Jesus, then we're fooling ourselves, because there is. All the preaching I could do, all the prodding, all of the encouraging that I could do would never convince anyone to be as bold as a lion. It just wouldn't happen, because boldness cannot be created, at least not by men. I can get up here and preach, and I can get up here and teach, and I could be your cheerleader, and I could be all this stuff, but that still is not going to encourage you to be bold. It has to come from something that is within you. Listen, to be a bold witness that a message today that we cannot understand. It should be a message that we can understand this morning. My message this morning is simply this. Something is going to happen to you if you're going to be bold. Period. Look at Proverbs 28:1 again. It says this. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but it says the righteous are bold as lions. You see, boldness is not the root of boldness, is the fruit of boldness. That's what it is. It's not something that's a root. It's something that comes from us when we know what we're talking about. when we believe in what we're talking about. That's something that comes from us. We can listen to awesome teaching and awesome preaching every day. You can do it. You can have youth meetings. You can have church meetings that can become cheerleading services if you want them. And I see them out there all the time. That's what they are. But you know what? When everybody gets to work and they're saying amen, they get stirred up and they say amen, and guess what? And committing to certain things, but whenever they get up off that altar, whenever they leave this church, nothing changes in them. There's still not a boldness in them. There's still not something that's out there to let them know, hey, listen, I need to talk about Jesus. I need to talk about Him, not everything else. I need to talk about Jesus. The scripture reading this morning doesn't say to be bold as a lion. It doesn't say be bold as a lion. Read it again. It says the righteous are bold as a lion. It doesn't say to be. It said we are. Listen, if you're righteous here this morning, if you're born again, bought by the blood of the Lamb, you will be bold. That's what it's saying. It's not saying, I'm telling you this morning, if you're going to be bold as a lion, it starts with being righteous, is what it says. And that starts right here and right now this morning. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. For they shall be what? Filled. That's an action verb. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's something that we have to want it. The dictionary defines righteousness means morally right or virtuous. In the Bible, it simply means this: living a life that is pleasing to God. That's what it means to be righteous. Right here, that's what it says. What is this righteousness? Well, I can tell you the first thing that it's not. It's not something that comes from you. It's not something that comes from you. It's not your own righteousness. You don't get to set the rules. You don't get to, I can't set the rules. You don't do that. The scripture tells us, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. When you have righteousness of God in you, you will have boldness in there as well. It comes hand in hand. The righteous are bold as a lion. As we look at this verse, there are two types of people mentioned in this verse. And I want to dig into both of them here this morning. There's the wicked and there's the righteous. They're both mentioned in this verse. The writer of Proverbs, he uses contrasts like this a lot. The wicked used here means to be morally wrong. That's what it means right here. And if you were to ask you to tell me what you think is morally wrong, I guarantee you could give me a list. Could you not? If I was to talk to each individual, and you would probably tell me there's a lot going on in this world today, and there's this and there's that, that's all morally wrong. But I hope you also realize morally wrong is any time you're not right with God. You don't have to be the worst sinner on the planet to be morally wrong with God. You don't have to be. Listen, I like the old hymn that says this: there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. You ever heard that before? There's nothing between my soul and my Savior. It doesn't mean you're sinless. It doesn't mean you've arrived at some state of perfection. It means that there's nothing in my life that I'm holding on to. There's nothing unconfessed sin, nothing unyielded to Jesus this morning. Nothing unyielded. That's what it's meaning. That's what it means to be righteous. If you're in one or two categories here this morning, everybody sitting in here is in one or two categories this morning. You're either wicked or you're righteous. That's it. You're in one of those two categories here this morning. On April 14th of 1912, this is something, I've read this story about the Titanic over and over, and my grandson loves the Titanic. This is why the Lord had impressed me to put this in here. But whenever that iceberg, the story of the Titanic at 11:40, we know the story, the basic story, it hit an iceberg, and at 2 hours and 40 minutes later, it sank, and 1,500 people lost their lives. As a matter of fact, it was a ship that they said that God Himself could not even sink. That's what it was said of it. A story that you might not know about the Titanic is this, though. On April 15th, the day after, the White Star Line headquarters in Liverpool, England, put up two big chalkboards on either side of their door on the main entrance going into their main headquarters. And written at the top of the chalkboards were known to be saved and known to be lost. It was talking about lives, but that's what they do. And what would happen every day, some clerk would come out with a name. And when he hold the name up, and there'd be hundreds of people around there watching. And they would hold that name up, and somebody in the crowd may say, well, that's my mom. That's my brother. And then he would turn around and take it over and put it on the side. Known to be lost or known to be saved. Could you imagine that? Can you even imagine that? And every day, and as he would hold up the name, someone in the crowd would yell that out. And then the Titanic left the harbor. There were three classes of people on that ship. This is something else. First, second, and third class. But you know that night that it went down, there was only two classes of people on that ship. Wicked and the righteous. That was the only two that was left on that ship that night. When it sunk, listen, you may be here this morning, and you can categorize yourself however you want. But can I tell you this morning, you're either lost or you're saved this morning. You're either wicked or you're righteous here this morning. There's not going to be nothing. And he knows, and I'm telling you, God knows which one you are this morning. I don't know. There's nobody in this church can tell you what your soul's like. Nobody. Only God in heaven knows that. And he knows where you stand this morning. But do you know somebody else who knows it? You know it tonight where you stand. Or this morning, you know exactly where you stand this morning with the Lord. You do. And I can tell you right now, praise God. I'm saved here. I'm standing before you. I know that I'm saved. But praise God, you know, you may be standing back, you may be sitting back here this morning and thinking to yourself, well, I don't know. If there's doubt in your mind this morning, listen to me. You need to come to the altar this morning and get saved. It's a no-so salvation. You know whether you're right with God. You know whether you're righteous with him tonight. Listen, Jesus said, and if he knows you're right, Jesus said this. There's two foundations. One's a rock and one's sand. Jesus said there are two ways. There's broad and there's narrow. There's two eternal destinations. Say them with me. There's heaven and there's what? Exactly. There's two masters you can serve, God and mammon. In John 2:17, and the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God does what? Abideth forever. The temporary world and the eternal life. There's two destinations. Listen to me. You know this morning whether you're righteous or you're wicked here this morning. There's no in between. Listen, there's no purgatory. I've heard that people talk about that in other denominations. There's no purgatory that you go to wait to get right. Howsoever the tree falleth, that shall it lie. Listen, if you're trying to live in two worlds and you're sitting in this church this morning, and you got your church world and you got your private world, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You can't hang on to one and hang on to both of them, because you know what? You're living in the road, in the one path that doesn't lead to salvation if you're doing that. You can have them both. Choose you this day who you will serve. This is for everybody in here. Listen, I'm not talking to the people out in the world. I'm talking to those sitting in this church, young and old. Choose you this day who you will serve. Don't wait till tomorrow. There may not be a tomorrow for you. When the Bible says the wicked flee and no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as lions, he's saying there are two kinds of people and there are only two paths to choose to walk on. And that's it right there, just plain and simple. Also notice this morning in this verse, there are not only two people, but there are also the two paths. Both the wicked and the righteous are moving on. The poet Robert Frost said this. Anybody in here, I know a lot of people in here like poetry. I love Robert Frost, by the way. Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Eve. And just I've always loved his poems for whatever reason. And he's talking to The Road Not Taken. And you probably have heard, when he's talking about coming to the forks in the road, And he said, I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference. Folks, I didn't come here this morning to be your cheerleader. But can I tell you something? When it says that there is a narrow way, and few be there that find it, I'm telling you this morning, listen to me. Listen to me. I hope and pray that you are on the narrow path this morning. I hope and pray that you have decided in your life to follow Jesus. I hope and pray this morning that the Holy Spirit beats within your heart. Because if you're on that other path, it is a broad path that leadeth to destruction. And if you're on that path this morning, I'm praying for you each and every day when I get up to say my prayers. I pray for the lost, as Jeremy says, the misguided that are in our family sometimes. And not only for those that are in my family, I pray for the misguided and lost in your family as well. Listen, folks, I come telling you there are only two paths you can follow this morning. And the path you choose will make a difference in your eternal destination one day. That'll make that. The wicked flee, but the righteous are bold. It's telling me one of them is going in this direction and one of them is going in that direction. Totally opposite of each other. Can I tell you, you can't travel down both paths at the same times. There are going to come a time in your life that you'll have to make a decision. I'm one of those preachers that believe that everybody has a chance. And I believe this morning that that chance comes at one time in your life when the Holy Spirit talks to you. And it may only talk to you once. I've heard about people where it's talked to them more than once. But it may only talk to you once this morning. Young and old, listen to me this morning. If the Holy Spirit is knocking, God is calling you to repentance this morning. And you cannot walk down both paths. It just doesn't work that way. Many people try. Many people try to walk down both. And in your situation this morning, you may be the only one walking the narrow path in your family. You may be that only one. Your spouse, your children, or everyone else around you may be walking a different path. May I encourage you this morning to continue. Keep on keeping on. Keep on walking down that path, that narrow path that the righteous walk on. Noah built an ark in the middle of nowhere, and it was mentioned this morning, for over 100 years. He built that ark. He was ridiculed and he was mocked. But Noah kept on going building that ark. David ran towards Goliath when all the rest of the Israeli army was up there in cowardice. He ran towards Goliath. Brother and sister, Queen Esther, what did she do? She risked her own life to prevent genocide of her own people. The disciples in the New Testament knew this. They risked beatings, imprisonment, and death to do what? To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The righteous are bold as lions. You may be the only one in your family. You may go to family reunions, and there may be people there that have no idea what it means to be a Christian or don't even want to know. But praise God, you know what? He's called us to be bold as lions. You may go to work tomorrow, or you may go to Walmart tomorrow. And praise God, nobody there knows the Lord. And everybody there may be cussing and maybe doing this and doing that and telling dirty jokes. Can I tell you, you are the one that's supposed to be as bold as a lion. Praise His name this morning. You may be the only one. The only one. When the writers of Proverbs uses the term, the wicked flee and no man pursueth, you know what he's saying? He's using the same scripture that you find from Leviticus 26. God warned the Israelites what would happen if they turn away from Him. In verse 17, and I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies, and they that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. In Psalm 53:5, David said this, there were they in great fear where no fear was. Folks, no one can be bold for a cause if they don't believe in what they're standing up for. Many in the Bible give up their incomes, their families, and even their lives for what they believed back in the day. They did. Folks, sin will make a coward of you. Sin will make a coward of you. Yes, it will. It'll do that. I've seen it happen to lots of people. And you know what happens? want you to read some. This is something God showed me in Revelation 21:8. Well, I want you to look at this for a minute. And look at the sins mentioned, but particularly look at the first one mentioned. Revelation 21. Say amen when you're there. I've looked over this verse of Scripture many times, and God just showed this to me. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know what that means, to be fearful? It's biblical cowardice. It's what it's talking about. It's not merely being afraid, but a deliberate failure to act with faith and courage for God's principles. That's what it's talking about. I never caught that before. Did any of you else catch that in here? I never caught it. But if you go out and read the translation of it, that's what it means. A deliberate failure to act with faith and courage of God's principles. By the way, when the word flee is used in Proverbs, it means vanished. The Hebrew word for that is vanished. When we've seen it happen so many times in churches, people come to church and there for a little bit, and soon they vanish. They vanish. And not just to go to another church a lot of times, but instead they don't go anywhere. They go somewhere else. And if they do go somewhere else, they don't stay there very long. They're nomads. Praise God this morning. I'm here to tell you the Bible compares them to the chaff that's blown with the wind and driveth away, and the restless sea that in the waves never stop rolling and bring up filth and muck. Lions do not look over their shoulders. As a Christian, we don't have to be looking back. Lions don't fear. They're bold as a lion. You think about this in the Bible, when it's other places it's mentioned about lions. It talks about, you know what, the devil's as a roaring lion. And it talks about that, and talks about other places where the people, you go out and they act like lions wanting to tear you apart. I'm here to tell you this morning, that's out here in the world. But praise God, God has given us boldness to where we can face what we need to face out there. Listen. Proverbs 20 ends with the word bold as a lion. I can ask a question, where are the Lord's lions today? I can ask it of this church, I can ask it of me, I could ask it of a lot of different things. Can I ask you a question, where are the Lord's lions today? Folks, some may say, I don't have the personality to be bold in Christ. Can I lovingly say to you this morning, this is not about personality, but about spirituality. It's not about our personalities. Praise God. God wants us to be bold as lions. He wants us to go out and talk to a lost and dying world. In Acts 4:13, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant. I'm telling you, there's times in my life I know for a fact I'm unlearned and ignorant. I'm not going to be the first one. I'll be the first to raise my hand. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I can tell you this morning, I may be unlearned and all the things they want to say about me, but I can tell you I've been with Jesus this morning. And I know in whom I believe. Folks, let's just not sit around and talk about how bad the world is. Let's just not talk and turn around and sit around and say how sin is running rampant and how much the country's changed. Can I say God is looking for some lions that is able to go out and talk to a lost and a dying world about these things? In Isaiah 6:8-9, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Raise your hand and say this with me. Raise your hand and say this with me. Who will give us, then say I, hear my, send me. That's talking to all of us. He said, go and tell the people. Go and tell the people. Let me finish with a couple of verses. I want to finish up in Proverbs 30:30 and Zechariah 4:6. Julie, please get a song. A lion, which is the strongest among the beasts, turneth not away for any. The lion does not retreat when a challenge comes against you. He wants us to be bold like that. I had a little video, if I could have got it downloaded this morning. I think I sent it, maybe just sent it to Jason here a while back. I talked to this little house cat. And this little house cat, or maybe this little house cat was down crouching. There's this big buck out there. That thing's down crouching, going towards that big buck. And it got closer. It crouched down, slowed down. Like, you know, you ever see a cat do that? Got up to that buck, and that buck says, and just snorted. And that cat kept going towards the buck. The buck didn't move. For us to have that kind of boldness. For us to have that kind of boldness. The lion didn't retreat. He's fearless in the face of adversity. We can be that way, not on our own strength, but through Jesus Christ. Then he answered and spake unto me. This is Zechariah 4:6, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So it's not anything in me, or it's not anything in you other than the Spirit of God that gives us that boldness. Again, let me finish up with this, where I started, with Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I ask you as they get this song, as they play the song here this morning, how about you this morning? Do you feel like that you're as bold as a lion this morning? Do you feel that way? God wants us to be that way. He wants us to be bold as lions. And can I tell you this morning, this altar is open, and he can touch, and he can uplift. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I don't know everybody's heart in here. And again, I preach to a lot of you every week, but that doesn't mean that I know your hearts. This altar is open this morning to come and know Jesus as your Savior. And let him put that holy boldness in you this morning.